We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oladio.com Sports Station. And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. That is Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. There's a few things that we do, sort of a tug of war on the show, a little give and take. I call Chuck old. He calls me a millennial. I tell Chuck that LeBron's better. He tells me Jordan's better. And then I always tell Chuck, I don't care about the bats. We need pitching. Chuck always says, hey, you got to have more than two runs. Last night, the Brewers are down 4-2. It's the ninth inning, and they've got Keston Hira coming up, who was having a good night, and then Ben Gamble, and then Eric Thames. And I probably would have put my house down and my life and the lives of everybody that I knew down as a bet, because I didn't think there's any way they were going to come back in that game. Just had no confidence in the offense. When it was down 3-0, they were down. I never thought they'd come back. The offense is just cold as ice.
Well, I think one thing we agree on, the Brewers are a mess right now. And, you know, they're only a game over 500. All right. I mean, say, how can you say they're a mess? I mean, a mess would be like 20 games under. But, man, this is disappointing.
No, let's go with mess, because I think the people that, if you say they're five games over 500 and people go, well, they're in first place.
Well,
they're a half game back.
They've lost like 17 of 25 or whatever it is, since June. And it's spiraling down. I mean, they're 2.5 games out. The Cubs lost last night at the Cincinnati, but now they've dropped to third place in the division. And, Freddie Freeman hits that home run, golfs that one to center. And I was like, all right, game, set, and match. You hate to feel that way about the Brewers' offense, but I just, that offense should be better than this, but I just felt like with Max Fried on the hill that their chances would be limited, and I was glad he was out of that game. I thought, okay, after five innings, they relieved him, ended up having a blister issue, thought maybe they'd get something going against the Braves' bullpen. They got a little magic going there in the sixth inning, scored two runs, ran a tying run on base on third, and then that was it. That was it, and the three runs proved to be too much for them to overcome.
As our Adam McKelvey notes, the Brewers 0-7 with runners in scoring position last night. They lose 4-2. They've lost 8 of 10. They've lost 18 of 27. They are now, as you said, in third place, 2.5 back of the Chicago Cubs, and even the wild card is starting to, I mean, not slip away. They're still in it. There's like 40 teams in the wild card, but it's just, it's not, you're not in a position right now where you can have the typical hope that you've had. Okay, a half game back. You're a half game back. You can still combat Chuck and I this morning by tweeting in and calling up and saying, they're just a half game back. I mean, look at that, everybody. They're going to do what they did last year, because that last year was fun, and this year's going to be fun too. That's not happening.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with these guys, but it's trending in the wrong direction. I don't know. I mean, they got Woodruff pitching tonight. They're playing a team that's really good right now. The Atlanta Braves are on fire. Not only are they winning home games, they're winning on the road. They've won five in a row, and I'm sure you can extrapolate that out. They've won quite a few games this year, and it's just been it's going to be tough against these two guys, and you got a tough stretch of games. I'm skeptical whether or not they could turn this thing around. I mean, look at this team. That lineup should be pretty good. There's parts of the pitching staff you like, and there's parts other parts you don't like. But, you know, they put Corbin Burns on the injured list yesterday.
Sure.
Sure didn't sound Sunday when he was after his performance. You know, he four batters, four runs, didn't retire any. Didn't say anything in the locker room about shoulder soreness, but, you know, the next day, here it is. You report to the ballpark, and he's put on the injured list for shoulder soreness. Funny how that works when a guy has a bad performance. He goes on the injured list the next day.
Well, there's – okay, so to talk about that for a minute, Corbin Burns on the injured list. We assumed that yesterday morning, we assumed that he would be sent down. And so they've got a slew of young arms or decent arms or arms. They've got arms. Whether they're good or not, you know, that's up to you guys. But they've got arms. But if you go on the injured list – that allows you to call up a guy you've sent down within the last 10 days, and that was Birch Smith. So it's almost like he was the guy they wanted, but they had just sent him down, so Corbin Burns had to be injured. And if we're at the point where we're manufacturing injuries to bring up Birch Smith,
yeah,
not that he, you know, he was okay last night.
Well, God, that inning took 45 minutes, and he got out of it, thank God, in the ninth. Well, it didn't matter anyway. They went harmless in the bottom of the ninth inning.
What do you do, like walk K, hit K, something like that?
Nearly hitting batters, throwing high and tight.
All right, so maybe he wasn't okay.
So it just, it was
a long run.
Seemed like the longest inning ever. But he got out of it, struck out a couple of guys. But, yeah, just, I mean, even Hauser pitched well, okay, but he gives up that three-run home run, and that's pretty much the ball game. I mean, he got it. He pitched it as well as he has so far as a starter, but it wasn't good enough.
So 4-2 the final. Within that game, again, there was the home run to Freddie Freeman. There was the laborish inning from Birch Smith. There was a couple other things. You look at Keston Hira, you think, okay, 3-for-4, good night. Keston Hira is having a hard time running between third base and home plate the last couple of days. I don't know what's going on with him there. He had a bad out in a rundown. Yasmani Grandal tossed, was arguing strikes and balls, and that seemed to be a bit of frustration. Not a lot of hits for the crew last night in terms of, like, it came from a couple of guys. Kane was 0-for again. Zeus was 0-for-4 again. Arcia struggling at the plate. So you want to say this team's a mess? I am more than willing to co-sign the fact that this team's a mess. And it's the bats, too. It's the pitching. It's the bats. It's the manager, it's the GM. I mean, name something and I'll tell you why it's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get anything going. They can't manufacture runs. They're not, they're leading the league in home runs, but, you know, they could have used a couple of more last night. I thought Heroes was potentially gone, went off the bottom of the wall. Center fielder for the Braves misjudged that. Caught a little break there, but then they couldn't get the run in with two outs. Kane flew out the end of the inning. So, now they're going to slump down to third place in the division. Disappointing. Got to come back, win this game, and then, win tomorrow, hopefully, and then they go out to Arizona for a four-game set before coming back for another homestand next week. But, they got a nice stretch of games where they're playing against some pretty good teams.
TG tweets in, Stearns better not get a pass for this pathetic season. The entire pitching staff got worse from last year. Cheap ass owner. Sell this team to the Bucks owners at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And a couple of years ago, people wanted Mark Attanasio to buy the Bucks.
Stearns won't pay for pitching. It's been proven.
Well, I think
that's a directive from his owner.
Well,
but in the Stearns era, they are not getting the pitchers they need. They are
trying to manufacture.
And they don't want to, they won't sign anybody or trade for anybody that is a rental. Now, they did get Moose, so I stand corrected by my own self last year. They end up bringing him back. Gio Gonzalez, I guess, was a rental, and then somehow they brought him back. But that didn't cost you too much. What did Moose cost you? Brett Phillips? Okay, yeah. Well, we lost his laugh.
Well, here's what they don't want to do, and this is a thing with small markets, and this is the part of the problem with baseball where a smaller market, and I know people don't want to hear it, they don't want to pay. They feel like they could groom starting pitching, or they should groom starting pitching. They haven't been great in that area, and this is what we see now. Adrian Hauser's out there. Birch Smith is up there. Birch Smith for Corbin Burns. Well, I told you in March that Birch Smith would be on the roster and Corbin Burns would be trying to figure things out by making up injuries for his shoulder. That'd be a problem. So, yeah, he won't go out and spend money for pitching. First, he's not paying $25 million a year for Jake Arrieta, but they will never do that. And once a pitcher makes a lot of money, he's going to command $25, $30 million a year, they're going to say goodbye to him.
Birch Smith for Corbin Burns. That doesn't even sound like a real sentence.
Yeah. it's
what kind of sentence is that?
Some of this is on the Brewers.
Birch Smith for Corbin Burns.
Yeah, yeah.
John is in Franklin. Let's talk to him right away. 799-1250. How are we doing, John?
Hey, John.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
No kidding.
Yeah, Chuck, I'm with you. You know, it's like the definition of insanity. You know, I'm okay. We're gonna watch this game. It's gonna go better tonight. You see what happens. What was that in the fourth inning with the, the close play in the hole, the sloppy throw, and the lack of effort to get the ball from first base, and then two pitches later, just about cuts the scoreboard in half. And I'm sorry, and I love this team, but I'm like, this game's over. So this team has no pulse. But I'd like. There is a good thing about this. This is better than them winning one, losing one, and just, treading water. This team is circling the bowl, and at least it is what it is. We can all fall to autopsy what has happened here and why it happened. Well, and there's a lot of good ideas. And the starting pitching whole strategy is obviously a big part of the fault. And the other mistake was when Knebel went down, there was no counter move. If you're a team that heavily relied, obviously, on the bullpen scenario, you lost one of your cornerstones. There was no backup plan for that, if that was the way you were going to proceed. And everybody doesn't have, a fantastic closer sitting in AAA. But there was just nothing to counter that. I'm watching Smith yesterday, and I'm just like, this is what we have. And I'm like, oh, man, this is just painful. But I would like one thing. I would like counsel to quit giving me these stupid Boy Scout flipping autopsies of the game, and we're going to get better, and we need to hit. I would just like to see this guy flip out and lose his mind one time. Or am I alone?
Yeah, he's one of those guys who's he hasn't done it too many times, throw his own team under the bus and say, you know what? He's been tough on a couple of guys, but I mean, he won't come out and say, you know what? Our offense is just terrible. We stink right now. I mean, there's not a lot of managers who will do that, but he's come out and said, hey, we're just not getting the job done. We're not executing in certain areas. He's not calling out certain guys, but the other day, though, he said with Corbin Burns, though, hey, you know what? We're not seeing enough production out of Corbin Burns. We got to figure that out and see what we're going to do with him.
John, thanks for the call. Do you think that would help, Chuck? Do you because this is a tweet I got from John about 30 minutes ago, a different John. Is it me or are Craig's post-game interviews starting to sound a lot like McCarthy? I'd love to hear Council just blast his team once for lack of effort for once.
Yeah.
Council's been very... I mean, Council's shown emotion. The dude's getting kicked out once a series. At least that's what it seems like. And I thought he was going to get tossed last night. But I don't know if he goes up there and just blasts his team, it might make you feel good because you're a fan and you're watching these guys struggle every night. But I don't know what it does with Council. I think one of the knocks on him is also one of the positives is that he's a good guy to play for. He's a player and he's been a player. He's a player's manager. But can he... clamp down and exert pressure on these guys? I don't know.
Yeah, the feeling, too, is if he does something like that, he's going to cause some separation in the locker room and lose the locker room. I don't think all is lost just yet. It's fading away. Him tearing the team apart, is that going to make Orlando Arcia hit a little better? Is that going to make Aguilar continue to progress up the ladder? Is he going to stay hot? Is that going to make guys pitch better? No. I don't think that does anything. Baseball, I don't think you – I mean, I don't know. That's not going to make you play any harder, I don't think.
No, if Council blasts
Zach Davies, his command will instantly be better.
Yeah.
Well, that is an interesting thought. We will hear from Craig Counsell coming up after the game, which has rattled some people. So we'll get to that. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. More from you guys throughout the day. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan, as the Brewers fall 4-2, a game that should be so close, but it never truly seemed like they were in it. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, here on The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We need better at-bats and stuff. Craig Counsell, put that one. You know how in Notre Dame they slap the phrase on their way out? Put that one on the way to the field from the locker room. We need better at-bats and stuff. Craig Counsell, after the Brewers lose 4-2 to the Atlanta Braves. So after the break, we've been telling you that these 2.5 weeks are important. And they are, because teams are going to figure out if they're buyers or if they're sellers. Not just the Brewers. Some of these other teams are trying to win, which may lessen the pool for which teams are selling, which may lessen the pool for how you can improve. So these 2.5 weeks are big. Since the break, though, the Brewers have struggled 1-3 after losing a couple to the Giants and then losing last night. Now, they could turn it around with the win tonight. They could get a win tomorrow. And we could be feeling good again, but the signs from this team don't seem to really be existent about where they can get better and how they can get better. You watched that game last night, and again, the ninth inning, I mean, with Hiragamo and Thames up, it was a loss. They had lost. They're down 4-2. There's no outs. Ninth inning, it was a loss. And you knew it was going to be, and I like what you said before because I agree with it, Chuck. This team's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, they had one thing going in the sixth inning. They had, the Hira hits that. First of all, the home run by Braun. Hira with a double or triple off the bottom of the fence in center field. They had that tie run at second base or at third base, and they couldn't get him in. And then after that, it was just, I just didn't feel real good about their chances the rest of the game. And, the loss last night, I was hoping, they lost 2-3 to San Francisco, come back against Atlanta last night. But on the other hand, Max Fried was pretty good for Atlanta. In his five innings of work, that lefty, man, he is really, really good. But I thought hopefully, maybe when they got out of he left the game with a blister, that the Brewers might be able to get something going against that bullpen. Did for a little bit of the sixth inning, and then it was quiet the rest of the night.
Well, a couple former Brewers, got a few holds last night. Tomlin wasn't great. Gave up the home run to Braun. Josh Tomlin was with the Brewers in camp. Anthony Swarzak, old friend,
pitched really well.
A trade deadline move a couple of years ago, has been with like three teams since.
Yeah, the Brewers got him from the White Sox in 2017, I want to say.
Yeah, then he signed a big deal with the Mets, and then he ended up with Seattle, and then now he's with Atlanta, which was a recent trade, which I completely missed. I didn't remember that happening, but he's got a 0.47 ERA, so, those are the kind of arms that you like. I should pick him up in fantasy. That's really good. I'm going to make a note.
Yeah,
of that
he's been
for later.
He's been
because our league does hold. So
he was good here. He was good here in the short time that he was here.
Yeah, we wanted him back, but
did, yeah.
I think the Mets paid him like $7 million.
Yeah,
which at the time we thought you never pay that much for a reliever, and then 2 years later, I'm begging the Brewers to pay Craig Kimbrell $15 million per.
Well, I still think that the Brewers, the Cubs aren't going to get the bang for the buck out of Kimbrell. After it's all said and done on that, the Brewers need a lot of help right now, including some of these guys on this own team picking it up. But they are a mess, and they have guys on this team. It doesn't have a feel of a playoff team, that's for sure. I mean, they're really, and the National League isn't even all that good, and the Brewers aren't showing they're one of those even mediocre teams right now. I mean, the last month of the season, maybe that's the way it's going to trend for the rest of the season. Maybe they're going to continue to spiral out of control, and this is going to be a lost season for these guys.
Things are still very tight in the NL Central. Let's take a look. The Cubs, 50-44. They are in first place. The Cardinals are two back. two games over 500, but two back. The Brewers sit at 48-47. They're a game over the 500 mark. They are 2.5 back. And then the Reds and the Pirates both 5.5 back. All right, so the Brewers are in third place in the NL Central. Let's take a look at the consolation prize, the wild card. You've got the Washington Nationals with wild card spot number one. The Cardinals then and the Phillies tied for wild card spot number two. The Brewers a half game back out of that. Then it's the Diamondbacks, who they'll see this week. The Rockies, the Padres. And how about my San Francisco Giants yesterday?
Yeah, maybe we should have a bet on this. How about that? Do you want to? Should I get...
No, yesterday you want nothing to do with it. Yesterday, later in the show.
No, but you.
I said that a team like the Giants. What I said was, how about? And it was sort of a joke, but I said the Brewers are next level thinking here because they're going to be too cheap to trade for Madison Bumgarner, but they don't want the Cubs or Cardinals to get him. So what they did was lose to the Giants so that the Giants would think they're buyers and then not sell Madison Bumgarner.
Well,
Now the Giants have won 4 or 5 out of the break.
Yeah, but is it a case where the Brewers are, I don't know if the Brewers are too cheap to get Bumgarner, but I mean, if the Giants put a high price tag on him, Brewers don't want to be giving up some of their top prospects for this for Bumgarner. Maybe there's other guys they're interested in.
But are they going to give up their top prospects for Stroman? Are they going to give up their top prospects for Wheeler? Are they going to give them for...
Well, not Wheeler now that he's went on the injured list.
Are they going to give him up for Bauer or, you know, whoever?
Well, we don't know.
No.
We don't know.
We do know.
But
they're not giving... They don't pay for pitching. That's pretty concrete now for me.
If they're not going to do this... Well, then again, do some of those other teams that have these starting pitchers, do they want what the Brewers have to offer? I mean, we don't know what the Brewers are offering or if those teams are even interested in the Brewer farm system. The minor leaguers, do they look at the Brewer farm system right now and do they see guys that they want, or are they holding out for guys from other teams that got better prospects? You know, it takes two teams to deal in this thing, and maybe some of these teams, too, don't want what the Brewers have to offer.
So what's more likely, that in the last 3 years the Brewers haven't traded for a quality pitcher because other teams haven't liked their farm system, or that the Brewers are too cheap? They're not paying for pitching. They will not pay money for pitching. They will not pay prospects for pitching.
They won't.
They'll get guys on the cheap. They'll have guys internally in their system. They'll maybe try to hit on somebody
in
a trade.
And this is a problem with baseball. They're not the only small market team to do that, and that sucks. Small market teams can't do that, and I hate it. And I hate the situation in baseball where there's no salary cap. So a team like Milwaukee, you know, I mean, and when a player does get good, like right now with Christian Yelich, it's like, okay, the better he gets, is he going to be out of the Brewers' price range someday? And they're going to have to say goodbye to him. They kept Ryan Braun. You know, they had to let Prince go. They couldn't, you know, they weren't going to sign Zach Greinke. You know, all right, they traded him the next season, in the middle of the season. I mean, there's guys on the team, whether it's pitching or, you know, position players that once they, you know, are going to earn some top level money, you know, the Brewers can't re-sign those guys, and that's a problem with baseball.
They'll pay for offense. I mean, they were the highest bidder on Lorenzo Cain. They paid a bunch of money on 1 year deals, but they were willing to up the price tag to bring in Grandal and Moustakas. They will pay for offense. They will lock in Christian Yelich when it's time to do that.
They feel like
they will not pay for pitching.
They feel that they could, an everyday player like Grandal, they won't give him a long-term deal. They gave him a 1 year deal, but and same with Moustakas. They got Moustakas on the cheap. You know, they weren't going to give him a multi-year deal. They got him on the cheap, but they're not going to. Yeah, they won't pay. Now they've allegedly gone out there and tried to get Darvish, you know, a couple of years ago, off seasons ago, or, you know, dipped the toe in for try to get Jake Arrieta, but at the end of the day, they were outbid. They didn't go high enough.
This is the Packers, man. This is Ted Thompson Packers. This is what this is.
So you want them to go spend more money on pitching and less on offense?
I want them to spend more money on pitching in addition to what they're doing on offense.
Yeah, well,
I want them to look at a move and think that the time to strike is now. I don't want every move to be... It feels like if the Brewers want to make a move, David Stearns has like this flow chart where it's got to be yes, 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 yes. Is this move considered a stealth move. Yes, go on.
Yeah,
does this guy be locked up for a long time? Yes, go on. I mean, it's like.
But starting pitching is
check 50 boxes.
Starting pitching was the problem last night. Was not the problem last night.
No, and that I agree with.
And offense is, but offense. I mean, they're lifeless on offense. This is what the problem is. If they could just they could score some runs, we wouldn't be talking about. I mean, getting another starting pitching, they're not scoring runs. I mean, they lost 8-3 on Sunday. Not enough offense, and that six-run seventh inning, you know, blew the doors off. Their bullpen stunk there, but still, they only scored 3 runs. The Friday night they did score. They scored 7 runs, well enough to win, and the bullpen failed. So, man, there's problems all over this team. Problems all over this team. Starting pitching, bullpen, some of the guys they got to throw out there. I mean, some of the guys they throw out of there on the bullpen, you're just like, oh, I'm like, man, please get through this. I mean, like last night, Birch Smith in the ninth inning. You're just hoping that he gets through that. I didn't feel that same way with the bullpen last year when you had Knebel and you had Jeffers and you had Hader. You had those three guys. But this year with the bullpen, you're just like at the edge of your seat when they're throwing in, you know, you name it. Anybody out of that bullpen, you're just hoping they get through the inning. I don't have any confidence in most of those guys.
No, I don't either. And again, you can't penalize the Brewers for coming into the season expecting that Corey Knebel was going to be ready because he got hurt late in spring training. And then Jeremy Jeffress has sort of lost his mojo, and he'll pick it back up at times, but he's not the pitcher that he was last year. So you forgive him for the Knebel injury, but other than that, I think they are trying to replicate 2018 success with a roster that's just not as good. Now, if you're going to get one, tonight would be the one to get. Brandon Woodruff on the hill, 10-3, your all-star, 3.67 ERA, up against Bryce Wilson. Wilson's a young arm they like. His stats aren't really flashy. He hasn't pitched too much at the major league level yet this year, but they do like him. But this would be the one to get. Dallas Keuchel and Chase Anderson tomorrow. So let's say you do what you're supposed to. You win tonight, you lose tomorrow, and then you've dropped another series. You've won one series since June 9th, and then you've got a 4-game set with the Diamondbacks. And, you know, after this week, I think we could know a lot of things that we don't want to know about the future of this ball club.
Yeah, I mean, the trading deadline is, I think, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And, you know, we'll know a lot in the next 14, 15 days, you know, with these guys. I mean, you look it up on this team. I mean, they were hurt this year by, you know, Travis Shaw, very much underperforming. You know, first base, underperformed for the most part, and those two with those two guys now, their averages, it's climbing. They're playing much better. But early in the season, you know, they multiple moments those two guys came up, Aguilar and Thames, and they didn't produce. You know, they were saved by, hey, they went out and got Grandal, and they went out and got Moustakas, two all stars who they didn't even count on being on the team this year. You know, if they didn't have those two guys, they might be in a lot worse shape if those two guys didn't fall in their laps.
Might. They'd be in a big time
mess without
those guys. Again, you've got your 5 all stars.
Who would okay? If you didn't have
you've got those 20 other guys.
If you didn't have Moose, okay, who would be playing third base right now?
Shaw
at 167.
Perez.
Perez. Who he's down in the minors.
Corey Spangenberg.
That's who you're left with. Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't have Grandal, you'd still have Eric Kratz.
You have Manny Pena catching every day. You'd be in a world of mess there.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. So the Brewers do fall yesterday 4-2. Again, they'll go back at it tonight. The On Deck Show coming your way at 6 o'clock here on The Fan. You know, football players, they hear a lot. They hear from the media. They hear from fans. And they do a pretty good job of blocking it all out. But there's one thing that they want to know every year where they rank. And they came out yesterday, and it caused quite a storm. And we'll take a look at that coming up next and how the Packers fare in these scenarios. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Sports Flash, right
from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Big day yesterday for gamers. NBA 2K ratings came out, and so did the Madden ratings. Now, even if you're not a gamer, Chuck, I don't classify you as a gamer.
Oh, I suck. I suck. Yeah, I'm terrible.
I'd like to play you in a game of Madden.
It would kill me.
Well, because you haven't probably ever played.
No, I have. I suck.
When's the last time you played Madden?
Like 2 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I tried. On PlayStation 3.
Okay.
We have PlayStation 3. My oldest kid had it, and we played it for a little bit, and I was terrible. Just awful. I mean, I'm baseball, but you name it. I'm just, video games is not my strong suit.
No.
I mean, as a kid, kids used to come to my house and beat me at my own video games.
That's, oh, jeez.
Yeah. Come over to Atari, kick my ass. Oh, absolutely, I'm bad. I've never been good at video games.
It's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Whether you're good at video games or not, it's always exciting to see the Madden ratings. Because
you could beat me blindfolded, probably.
I run the same three plays all the time.
Well, you still beat me. I don't know how you guys control, you know, those knobs and all that. It's like my 8-year-old. I get, you know, he gets it and it's some boom, 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 boom. He's playing EA Sports and all that. It's like I don't understand how he just naturally knows how to do it. I have no clue.
Well, it's like typing. You learn how to type and then you can.
This is amazing.
Like the letters on a keyboard, A, S, D, they make no sense. The pattern that they're in makes no sense, but you learn how to do it over time.
I guess.
It's the same with the controller.
A little
hop out here, a little audible there.
I tried with baseball a few years ago, and it's like, God, I just still couldn't do it.
that should be easier.
Oh.
Although baseball games have gotten hard. They are hard now because you got to control where the pitch goes.
Well, God, I know. Trust me. I tried it, and it is difficult. But
if you do play me in Madden, if we ever do that, I run the same three plays. I always run. I do like an off-tackle run to whatever side there's more field.
Okay.
So if I'm on the left hash mark, I'll run right, and then I'll run the next play left. And then the passing plays I do, I love my tight end over the middle. Or I'll have a four receiver set, and I'll send the two inside guys deep. No, I'll send the two outside guys deep, and the two inside guys will go and do like little posts.
Trust me, if you told me you could say, Chuck, I'm going
to
run my play right here.
All the time.
I'm going to throw my, I'm going to hit this receiver right here, and I still, you'd have a 20-yard completion. I'd get crushed. I'm the world's worst gamer. World's. Nobody's worse than me.
Wow.
Yeah. Suck. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But anyway, go ahead.
I would like to try it at one point. Yeah. But whether you like Madden or you don't, the ratings are interesting because these are not just like half-assed ratings. They've got people, and this might be a dream job for some of you, they've got people that they get paid to watch tape, watch film, and come up with their ratings. And then that's how good they are in the game, of course. But so the Madden ratings come out yesterday, and we find out in the NFC North, this is also a good indication of maybe what teams are expected to do. In the NFC North, it goes like this. The Detroit Lions have an 80 overall rating. That's not great. 86 on offense, 80 on defense. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings have an 83 overall rating. The Bears have an 84. Their offensive rating is 76. That's bad. And then their defensive rating is 88. The Green Bay Packers have an 87 overall rating, good for first in the North, 89 on offense, 84 on defense. So if Madden's any indication, the Packers are going to retain their rightful spot atop the NFC North.
Because their offense?
Because their offense is the best in the division, but then also the defense at an 84, that's not bad. Now here's the top 10 guys for the Packers, and you can tell me if you think these are too high or maybe a little low. The highest rated Packer is, who would you guess?
On offense?
All team.
Oh, the whole team?
The whole team.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers?
It is David Bakhtiari.
Okay, see now, I don't know how that works. Why would he be the highest rated?
Because they think he's the best player.
Okay. Not the most productive, but the best player.
I mean, that's a horse apiece. I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, you want guys to score points. Wouldn't you think Aaron Rodgers is the most important player on that team?
So what should Bakhtiari be?
See, this is where my confusion with gaming goes.
This isn't about gaming. This is just ranking players.
Okay. Okay.
What do you think David Bakhtiari is in real life out of 100?
I don't know. 90. I don't see you're I'm going down an area with gaming right now.
This has nothing to do with gaming.
Oh, this
take gaming out of
this
it.
This isn't still the gaming thing?
It still is, but I've lost you, so yeah. I got to bring you back in.
Okay.
Do you understand what ratings are?
Sure. Sure, but I don't.
Do you understand a 1 to 10 scale?
I don't understand where the 80. So what's like the highest rating you can get?
100.
Is there anybody 100?
There's a few guys that are 99.
And what's the highest on the Brewers, on the Packers? Bakhtiari's about, what do you say he was?
97.
Okay, so I would have guessed that Rodgers would have been, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Devontae Adams is a 92.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a 90.
Okay, so I'm not too far off.
Kenny Clark is a 90.
Kenny Clark is a 90?
And Adrian Amos is an 87, along with Mike Daniels. Those are your top five Packers.
Wow. Amos is that high up, huh?
So if you were to tell me who the top five Packers are, wouldn't you come up with those five, or who else would you come up with?
Give me those five again.
It's David Bakhtiari is a 97.
Bakhtiari.
Devontae Adams is a 92.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark and Aaron Rodgers are a 90.
Okay.
Adrian Amos and Mike Daniels are 87.
I guess that's probably right. I would have guessed Aaron Rodgers would have been the highest rated, but Bakhtiari in this case is, I guess.
Well, I mean, don't you see why that could be?
I can see, yeah. I would think the quarterback would. I just think Aaron Rodgers would have been the highest rated on the team, but I don't fully understand why Bakhtiari. So they're saying Bakhtiari is the most important player on that team or the best football player on the team?
The rating, I think you're confusing rating with who scores points.
Who's the most important
player? This is just like Pro Football Focus when they rate a guy super high.
Okay. All right.
So Madden, the Madden researchers, think David Bakhtiari is the most important Packer on the team.
Yeah, which I would say would have probably been Aaron Rodgers ahead of Bakhtiari, but that's fine.
Dan's in Muskego.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, first-time caller.
Hey, Dan.
Oh, Dan, welcome to the program. Welcome to the program. There we go.
Dan, are you going to come at me for my lack of knowledge on gaming?
Well, give him the line. Give him the line.
Oh, don't be a foreigner to the show, at least as of right now.
Yeah, I won't be. I'm a little disappointed in Bart, too. He's doing a poor job of explaining Madden ratings here.
How?
So the rating has nothing to do with, like, importance. Who's the most important Packer? Aaron Rodgers could be 100 and David Bakhtiari could be 100. It's just how good at you are you at your position. Like, a perfect left tackle would be 100 out of 100.
No, yeah, oh, that's a better way to explain it.
Yeah, it is. Now I get it better. That's thanks, Dan.
Dan, you got to understand, I did not think that ratings would confuse my esteemed partner.
Oh, we're talking.
The way you explained them, Bart, I can't blame them.
Yeah, you didn't explain it well.
There's no relative to the scale. It's not who's more important. It's just a perfect player at that position would be 100. And you can have all 100s across your team if you were that good.
Okay, because he's the most important at his position.
He's the best player at his position.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
And not on the team, but across, like, the league.
Yeah, so across, not necessarily the most important on the team, but across the league, he's the most important player at that position. That's why his rating is so high. Not necessarily is he more important than Aaron Rodgers, but he's the most important at that position.
So Madden people are giving David Bakhtiari 97 out of 100. They think he's the best left tackle in the league.
Okay, there. Now, there, that's explaining it better. Now I get it. Okay. Now I get it.
Thanks, Dan. That was very helpful.
Thanks, Dan.
No problem. I'll hang up. Have a good one, guys.
Okay. Now we're talking. Thanks for explaining that. Now, Dan helped us out here. Go ahead.
You got to understand. I didn't think it would need explaining.
Well, I don't understand the rating system of the gaming, how this works, this Madden. I don't know. But he explained it.
I think you're focusing too much on the gaming aspect. It's just like ratings. It's just ratings.
Yeah, but he said that Bakhtiari is rated for the best of his position. I thought you were rating the best overall player on the Green Bay Packers when you were telling it to me. who is rated the best overall on the Green Bay Packers, but he's rated the best at his position. Therefore, he's got the best overall rating on the team because he's the highest rated at his position in the league. So go ahead.
Is there any Packer that you want to know?
I'm surprised Amos is that high. Explain to me why Amos is that high.
Make the rating.
Yeah, but I mean, it's based, but now that his rating is high based on comparison to other safeties around the league, right?
Right.
Okay, now I get why he's high. Well, I'm a little surprised he's that high, too, that he's thought of so highly.
Aaron Jones is an 81.
Yeah.
He tweeted last night, sleeping emojis because he's one of the lower running backs, starting running backs.
Okay, so now the players take offense to this.
Yeah, players get mad.
Okay, who else? I mean, there's a players. Who else is upset at their ratings? So if they check out their ratings, they think, oh, man, they really screwed me in, as far as my ratings.
Yep, some guys say that.
So
yeah.
This is with Jones, okay.
Yeah, that's the only one I saw.
Okay.
I feel like I'm taking a test here.
I'm trying to figure this out. I'm working with you. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to work with you here. Work with me.
Any other Packers you want to know their ratings?
Mason Crosby.
Mason Crosby's 74.
Okay. Come on. Keep coming.
Give me a name.
Brian Bulaga.
Brian Bulaga's an 85.
Okay.
He's actually one of the top Packers.
He is.
Yeah.
Despite being hurt all the time.
So here's your top 10, well, based by their position.
Okay.
David Bakhtiari is a 97. Devontae Adams is a 92. Kenny Clark and Aaron Rodgers are 90s. Adrian Amos is an 87, as is Mike Daniels. Bulaga is an 85. Jair Alexander is an 83. Jimmy Graham and Za'Darius Smith are 83s. Now, if you want to look at Rodgers, where he compares to other quarterbacks.
There you go. I would say, okay, do you have that rating?
I do.
I bet you two or three quarterbacks are ranked ahead of him.
Aaron Rodgers is the seventh highest rated quarterback.
Oh, wow. Now, that sounds kind of low.
Patrick Mahomes is 97. Tom Brady comes in at 96. Phil Rivers and his 8 kids, although is it 9 now?
I don't know.
Do they have another one? He comes in at 94. Drew Brees is a 92, as is Andrew Luck. Russell Wilson a 91.
So is Rodgers
to Madden, he's a 90.
Has Rodgers ever been number one?
Yes.
He has.
I think he's been a 99 in the past.
Okay. So he's falling.
Yes, he has fallen a little bit. He's a 91 awareness, 78 speed. I'm not going to get into that breakdown. Corey is on the south side. What's up?
Corey.
Hey, you guys are talking about the Madden ratings.
Well, we're trying to. I'm not doing a good job.
Last caller did a pretty good job, but it's not necessarily like David Bakhtiari's a 97, but he may not be the highest rated left tackle in the league. If you check the whole league, there's got to be somebody up there at 99. Someone's better than him.
No, Bakhtiari is the highest left tackle.
Okay, well, if he's the highest left tackle, then they rated him the best in the league or whatever. But they go off the player's attributes. Like his pass blocking is probably in the higher 90s. His run blocking is probably in the higher 90s. And then they take like all their attributes and give them an overall score. So, like, Aaron Rodgers, I believe, should be, like, a 95 at least because his, you know, passing accuracy and passing power, like how deep they throw the ball, his passing power is probably in the higher 90s, like 97 or something like that. But they give him an overall rating. It's just like they're, like I said, it's just like they go off their attributes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like Antonio Brown took offense because his speed is 95 in Madden, and he took offense to that on Twitter. So it's just pretty much all attributes, and they give him an overall rating based off their attributes.
So Antonio Brown got a 95, which sounds like it's pretty good. He was not. He thought he should have been 100.
He probably should have. He's probably thinking like he's like a 97, 99.
Okay. So 95 wasn't good enough for Antonio Brown.
No, he took pretty. He went on Twitter and took a photo of it. Like, and they put me on Madden and everything. So, pretty much, like I said, attributes all around the board. Their attributes give them an overall rating.
Corey, thanks for the call. Here's Keenan Allen of the Chargers. He did a video on Twitter.
And I just want to start this video off by saying, I will not be playing Madden 20. Period. All right, number one, my overall is at 89. For sure. My short route running is a 91. 60. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this dog? Wait. Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69. Like, I'm a little boy. I'm not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game. Pro Bowl back to back. 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
So who makes it? They take offense.
So who makes the ratings?
People work for Madden that make the ratings.
Okay. They sit in the room and they decide, and this is the rating we're going to get, and these guys aren't happy with it once they get it. I can see where they take offense. It's like if they did something like that for us broadcasters, and we got a low rating. I got a low rating on the show, we'd be pissed.
I'd get about a 15 for this segment trying to explain this. I wasn't prepared for so many questions.
Oh.
You're asking me, like, how these guys got the job, and what did they wear to their job interview, and what did they go to college for?
I didn't ask you that.
Every player that's upset about the rating.
No, I'm just trying to learn about gaming, man. I'm just trying to learn. You're tell me, you knew going in that, you know, gaming is, I'm just trying to learn the system here.
Yeah, but gaming was, I was just trying, it was numbers. Oh my God, I'm terrible. I am a 15.
No, don't worry about it. 15, that would be...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.